the grapes of Eshcol. They came unto the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes. Numbers chapter 13 and verse 23. The journey of the children of Israel which led to Eshcol was a deep, dark way of human transgression. All the way through the wilderness wanderings, we see this people's proneness to transgress. The Lord had made redemption's way an easy way to his inheritance in Canaan. But alas, when they came to the borders of that good land, their hearts were turned away from God's repeated promise to give all of it to them. It is a sordid history and a terrible warning to all generations against the sin of unbelief. Now, first of all, we see Canaan as a type of Christ. Canaan was a land flowing with milk and honey, and as such was another rich Old Testament type of the Lord Jesus Christ. The spies who searched out the land brought a cluster of grapes from Eshcol as proof of the richness and abundance of the land. The cluster was so big that it was carried on a staff. Carried on a staff so that it might not have any of its grapes squeezed or bruised or broken off, but they might carry it whole back to the camp. To this day, there are vines in that very place which can produce clusters of 25 pounds or more. And for their bigness, the grapes are often called hen's eggs. Now, a cluster, as in the Song of Songs, chapter 1 and verse 14, points to Christ our Lord, there being in him a cluster of all divine attributes and perfections, the whole fullness of the Godhead dwelling in him bodily. There was not only a cluster of divine attributes, but of all the graces and gifts of the Spirit, without measure, in him, and a cluster of great and precious promises of the covenant of grace. The staff on which this huge cluster was carried may denote the ministration of the gospel, which may seem mean and despicable in itself, but is the means of carrying the name of Christ and the things of Christ round the world. Acts chapter 9 and verse 15. The two men who bore it may signify the prophets of the Old and the apostles of the New Testament, who both agree and join together in setting forth the person and offices and grace of the Lord Jesus. Also, the cluster may be an emblem of the Spirit of God and his grace, and of the rich experience the people of God have of the Spirit in this present life, whilst traveling in this wilderness, and which would be like a taste and earnest of the future glory and happiness in our heavenly Canaan. It is here faith's eye rests upon our Lord Jesus Christ. He is our true rest, he the mark of our high calling, he the end of weary travelings, he the fullness who alone can satisfy, he the victory over all our enemies, he the land of pure delight. What a beautiful sight Canaan must have been in all its magnificent abundance. It is a picture of all that is in Christ and all he has purchased and made available for us. All he is and all he has is ours, and such fullness, beauty, and excellence simply boggle the mind and beggar description. What mortal man could ever describe the glories of our blessed Lord's person, the excellencies of his nature, the beauties of his character? That is a volume which will take eternity to read, a swelling flood we shall never pass over, an everlasting brightening day which shall know no declining shadow. Now look, secondly, at Eshcol's grapes, a type of the riches which are in Christ. A cluster of grapes is the fruit of the vine, and our Lord spoke of himself as the true vine, John 15 and verse 1, and thus all perfection. None of his fruit is bruised or diseased or distasteful. He bears nothing but sweet perfection. This is not so with Adam's race. We all have been rolled in the mire, and our vile iniquities have made us corrupt trees with corrupt fruit. We can never be on the ground of nature, acceptable or palatable to God. But here in his well-beloved Son is all fullness and sweetness. Here is richer fruit than ever was found in our wilderness of sin and woe. Here is fruit which is the crown of all perfection. Here is positive proof of the richness of God's inheritance. The Lord Jesus Christ is a cluster of divine and human perfections. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Colossians 2 and verse 9. The divine ingredients are his immutability, omniscience, omnipotence, and omnipresence. But in him also are all human virtues, being absolute in all love and righteousness, justice, truth, holiness, and mercy. In him too is a cluster of all spiritual graces, so that John could say of him, he is full of grace and truth. John 1:14. Isaiah says, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 2. The Jews of old often used the term cluster to describe a person whom they regarded as having all excellences and perfections. And who but their Messiah could be worthy of such a title? He is also a cluster of spiritual blessings. All the blessings of the everlasting covenant are in him and at his disposal, so that all who are his are blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Ephesians 1:3. The grapes of Eshcol were full of rich juice. They had to be cut down and squeezed and pressed before that rich juice could be released. Thus, our blessed Lord was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Isaiah 53 verse 5. Only so could our sins be expiated, our souls saved, and our persons made acceptable to God. But the juice of the grape is also for cheering and refreshing. This we find our Lord to be to us as poor sinners, so that in him we have peace and pardon, salvation and righteousness, through his blood. He is indeed a sweet cordial to our sick and saddened hearts. Each returning Lord's Day should find us drinking fresh raptures from him, and being filled with new measures of joy as we partake of him. He is Eshcol's full cluster. Now, do we realize what heritage the Lord has given us in his Son. This is the inheritance of his redeemed ones. Let us be certain we are his, altogether his, and let our souls feast upon him. Oh, for faith's bright eye to see his worth and to embrace his sweet person and to hold him in our hearts forever. Now listen to the words of Mary Bowley Peters. Jesus, how much thy name unfolds to every opened ear. The pardoned sinner's memory holds none other half so dear. Thy name encircles every grace that God as man could show. There only could he fully trace a life divine below. Jesus, it speaks of love, of sorrows meekly borne. It tells of sympathy above, whatever makes us mourn. Jesus, the one who knew no sin, made sin to make us just. Thou gavest thyself our love to win, our full confiding trust. The mention of thy name shall bow our hearts to worship thee, the chiefest of 10,000 thou, whose love has set us free. And we say amen to what Mary Bowley Peters has written as a hymn. Amen.